Watching on Facebook this morning, we're glad you're with us as well. I mean, a lot of times our services are picked up, you know, for weeks after we have them, so we thank you for watching if you're watching. I want to also say to the church, thank you for continued giving to the church. You know, our church has been very blessed during the difficult times of the pandemic and that God has continued to provide for our every need. And we thank the Lord for that, and people sometimes ask me, when are we going to build this building, Family Life Center, Worship Center, that we need so we can have a place for our WANA to meet and for our youth to meet and to have a wild game banquet indoors and not have to rent tents. I say, as soon as we get a little bit more money. So keep giving your money. I mean, now Alan said that we don't take checks up to $10,000. I'll take $1 million. If you got it, I'll take it. Because we could about pay for it completely if we had that. I mean, you know, God's been so good to us. Here's what I want you to understand, and y'all have already experienced this. Inflation has been terrible. And if you're building anything and you're building it 2 years ago and you're trying to build it now, inflation has caused the price to go up approximately 40% on the building of our building out here. So we obviously, God has been very good to us. If we were in the position right now that 2 years ago that we're in today, we would be ready. In fact, we would be beyond the goal that we had set. So just keep praying, keep giving. I believe God has a plan. God's timing is perfect, and God knows what we need, okay? So thank you very much, and thank you for your service. A lot of things coming up at the church. Next Saturday, we're going to have a spring fling. If the weather's like it is today, we expect about 750 people. That's normally what we have. So it's an opportunity to minister to people, to reach out to the community. And, you know, if we understand where we're at in America today, and we understand just not just in America, but where we're at in Georgia and in Paulding County. Several years ago, I looked at a study that per capita, Paulding County had fewer churches based on the population than any other county in the state of Georgia. And you say, well, how can that be? Well, Paulding County has been one of the fastest growing counties. There are many, many people who are unchurched that are not faithfully in the house of God. And we want to be able to reach out for the honor and glory of the Lord. Remember, it's not about us, it's about Him, to be able to bring those people in. And anything that we do here, whether it be a wild game banquet, a spring fling, whether we build a building, we're going to do it so that God can be glorified, He can be lifted up, and it will be about Him. And that's our heart's desire. So thank you for your work and your service. And God, I believe God honors it and God appreciates it. Sit in. When you're faithful to God, He'll be faithful to you this morning. Amen? A couple of things this morning. The message that I have on my heart that I want to share with you is titled, it's got a title and a subtitle, is God is in the recycle business. And then when mercy says no, and I want to explain why. You know, a lot of people like going to yard sales. I drive by a yard sale. If I see something I'm looking for as I'm passing by, I'll stop. I used to stop more often. I used to go. I mean, there's big ones. There's a big one over in Collinsville, Alabama, that's famous. I go over there occasionally. There's a big one up on 41. Sometimes people have them in their yard. You go through Cave Springs going over to Alabama, you got all those antique stores. Some of you ladies can't hardly drive by an antique store without looking inside. Then you got these secondhand stores. And some of these young people, you know, you can go in a secondhand store and get a barely worn pair of $100 blue jeans for $10. You can buy some of Tommy Bruce's suits at some of these stores. You can buy all kind of stuff at these stores. And some of it actually is really good stuff. You know, some people enjoy that, and that's fine. My wife and I went over and just walked slowly and held hands, and we ended up buying some outside furniture over at one of these places, and I found a guy that had all kind of pocket knives. He must have had 10,000 of them, it looked like, and I dug through them, and I found an old one of these and an old one of those and enjoyed that. But you say, oh, that's just junk. Have you ever heard the saying that one person's junk is another person's treasure? You might have something you're getting ready to throw away, and if I just knew, or Brother Larry Hart back there knew you had it, we'd be going to get it, wouldn't we, Brother Larry? I want to read a verse to you out of the book of Luke, chapter 5, verse number 30 and 32. This is the mission of Christ. It says, "But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, 'Why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners?' And Jesus answered and said unto them, 'They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'" You know, when we think about junk stores and we think about antique stores and yard sales and secondhand stores, and we go in there and sometimes we find things that we consider a treasure, I want you to understand something this morning. People are more important than stuff. And when Jesus Christ came and he walked upon the face of the earth, he came to fulfill the scripture that was written in the Old Testament, that's written in Isaiah chapter 42, that talks about one coming to set the captives free. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 12 and verse number 18, this scripture is written and it is referenced back to Isaiah 42. I'm not going to be able to read both places, because if I read every scripture reference I have this morning, we'd be here a long time. They say, "You're going to read half the Bible this morning." I'm going to try not to. But I want you to understand what the Word of God says, because my opinion really doesn't matter a lot unless it absolutely lines up with the Word of God. But in Isaiah chapter 42, verse number 18, it says, "Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. In his name shall the Gentiles trust." Now, I heard a guy stand up and read this scripture, and he used this scripture to preach against smoking. I thought, folks, that has nothing to do with what this is talking about, okay? Where it says the bruised reed and a smoking flax, what he's talking about here, the bruised reed represents the river grass, and it's representative of the time of something that people would understand, that when it's strong, it stands tall and it points up and it's beautiful, but when it's bruised, it's worn and it bows down and it's broken. The smoking flax represents the smoldering wick. You see, during the times that this was written by Isaiah the prophet, and when it was referenced back to Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew, they used oil lamps. And the lamps had to be trimmed, and the wicks had to be trimmed, and they had to be just the right height for the globe to be able to put out all the light. And what this is referencing in this scripture is a lamp that's flickering, that's just about to go out. So what he's talking about in this scripture is that Jesus came just like it was written up here in Luke chapter number 5. They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And Jesus came to help those who were hurting. He came to help those that were in need. He came to help those, and there's many like this today, their globe is not shining. The light is just about to go out. That's why Jesus came. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, and old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." In Ephesians chapter number 4, verses 17 to 24, it references the new man, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, he is a new man. Well, how can that be? Well, a person needs to meet Christ. And you say, "Well, you don't understand the condition that I'm in," or you may have somebody on your heart this morning that you think about, and you may think about it as we go through the points of this message, and you say, "Well, you don't understand the condition that they're in." I want you to understand something. Jesus Christ understands the condition that they're in. And when Jesus Christ went to the cross and he hung there, he took upon himself all the weight of the sin of the whole world. that whosoever, the great verse, believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Why? Because God is in the recycling business. You see, what God can do is he can take what the world calls junk or what the world calls trash, God calls it treasure. You know, he specializes in basket cases. And he takes those that the world has thrown away, and he often makes something out of them. Now, God's word is filled with these type of examples. If we think about it in the world today, how many lives are broken? How many people are living in darkness? How many are destitute? You know, sometimes when we know someone who's really in trouble or someone who's really got a problem, we think about them and we pray for them and we ask God to help them until sometimes, unfortunately, what we do is we give up on them. We think they're too dirty, they're too decayed, they're too disgraced. And we discard them and we get discouraged. And then you think about what it takes to reach them. And oftentimes, the truth is, no one wants to go to the place that they are at. Why? Because the smell is just too bad. Sometimes, it's too dangerous, and I want to caution you here. If God sends you, and you know the Holy Spirit sends you, then you trust God to protect you. But there are some places that if God didn't send you, you better not go. I often talk to people about the mission field, and they want to encourage this one or encourage that one. And I try. I'm one of those. Here's where I'm at. If God calls you, he'll provide what you need so that you can be able to go, everything you need. But if God hadn't called you, be careful. Because there's a lot going on in the world today that, yes, it is difficult. And, yes, the smell is bad. And the truth is, we don't want to get dirty. Sometimes it's even like this. I don't want what they have rubbing off on me. You know, sometimes I see great needs, and it's almost like people say, I just can't do that. You ever had anybody say something like that? I just can't do that. It's just too difficult. I just don't think I'm the one that I can touch that or I can be involved in that. And here comes somebody else in and says, I can do it. And they stick their hands right in it and they work on it. And you stand back and you look at it. What did Jesus do? He came into this world and he went right to where the publicans and the sinners were. And he sat down with them and he loved them where they are. Now there's a difference in loving sinners and compromising with sin. The Bible says that sin is sin. But Jesus loves sinners. And when God walks in and he looks at what the world has thrown away, here's what he does. He picks it up and he wipes it clean and he makes something out of it that nobody else thought could ever be made. That's what God does. And I want to give you some examples from the Word of God. And I'm not going to be able to read all the Scripture, but I'll give you the example. And I'll say this also. Anytime anybody here wants an outline, a copy of my outline, I got tons of them. I'll be glad to share that with you so that you can go study it. Because I've got so much stuff to go through here this morning, I cannot read it all. But I trust that everybody here has heard the story of the woman taken in adultery. It's found in the book of John, chapter number 8, verses 1 through 11. And here's Jesus, and he's looked at by the Pharisees, and they want to find a reason to accuse him. They find a woman who is taken in adultery, the Bible says, in the very act, and they take her and they throw her down at the feet of Jesus. You know, when they threw her down at the feet of Jesus, they basically said, Moses and the law say that she should be condemned or she should be stoned. You ever think about what they're actually talking about? They're actually referencing the scripture in Leviticus chapter number 20 and verse number 10. And here's what it says. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, and the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Now, folks, that's what's written in Leviticus in the law. And the Pharisees knew that it was written in the law. And they threw this woman down at Jesus' feet, really trying to find a way that they can accuse him if he did not agree with the law. After all, didn't he say in Matthew chapter number 5 that he came not to condemn the law but to fulfill it? He said not one jot or one tittle, that means one crossing of the T or one dotting of the I will pass from the law. Here's what Jesus was saying. He's saying that the law is not going to pass away, but he himself in the flesh, God in the flesh, fulfilled every element of the law because you couldn't. And he stands here with this woman thrown down at his feet. And he just kneels down and he begins to write with his finger. You see, the Pharisees in the world says, this woman's dirty, she'll always be dirty. And they did not even consider forgiveness. Y'all remember I read in Leviticus chapter 20, it said the dude. Where's the dude? Y'all ever think about that? They wouldn't help her. They didn't talk about the other party. They wanted to condemn her and Jesus at the same time. But Jesus stood and he said, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Now, folks, when you really get right into the theological background of this and understand it, it's not just he who is without any sin, but it's he who is without this sin. Because the Bible says that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath already committed adultery in his heart. And God knows our hearts. And the scripture says from the eldest to the least they begin to drop their rocks. Now here's what was about to happen. If Jesus had a reference to Leviticus chapter 20 and said, yes, she's guilty, those men, those scribes, those Pharisees would have stoned that woman to death with stones. But Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. I heard a story not long ago that there was a young lady in a church who had failure and she got in trouble. And a few weeks passed by and she got saved by the grace of God. She come before the pastor and she said, Pastor, I want to be baptized because I've gotten saved. And because of the things that she had been involved in prior to getting saved, the pastor wouldn't baptize her. If you know anybody like that, send them to Hiram First Baptist Church. Because we believe in the grace that Jesus Christ has given us, and we believe in the mercy. Now, here's what I want you to see in this story with this woman. They were going to stone her with stones, but Jesus said, mercy said no. Aren't you glad that mercy said no in your life? What about another example? This one's found in Luke chapter number 8, verse 26 to 29. In verse number 35, this is the story of the Gadarene demoniac. You know that story. The scripture says that he was in the tombs like a wild man. They had chained him up. He was so bad. And he had broken the chains. And he was cutting himself and hurting himself. Wasn't but just a few weeks ago, I had a young lady give me a prayer request about someone that was very dear to her, a loved one. She said, my family member, my loved one, has got a problem with drugs. And it's to the point that it's hurting her self-confidence, her guilt, the shame, that she's now started cutting herself. You people know what cutting is. You've heard that. A lot of you young ladies may even have friends that are involved with that. Here we find it in the Word of God that there's a man that's in the tombs and he's so bad that they can't bind him with chains. He's a wild man. He's cutting himself. People are afraid to go near him. But Jesus comes on the scene. And Jesus goes over and he casts out the evil and the demons that are in him. People say, well, I don't believe in demons. Well, you better pay attention. I believe that demons are on the rampage. Anytime I see a person hooked on methamphetamines or cocaine, there's a demon not far away. You know, the world looked at this man and they said, he has gone too far. We can do nothing for him. How many times are you going to send him to rehab till you just finally give up? I went to a Celebrate Recovery conference and I talked to a man that was actually working in the conference trying to help other people. And I started up a conversation with him. We talked for a little bit, Brother Tom, and we were talking about rehab. I said, how many times did you go through rehab? He said, 26. Now, here I am trying to be spiritual, trying to help him. I know he saw my face. I couldn't help it. I went, oh. When do you give up? Are they breathing? Are they breathing? Don't stop praying for them. Don't stop caring about them, because Jesus Christ loved them enough that he died for them. You know, the world looked at him. Do you know that the law condemned this man also? If you go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 21, in the 18th verse, here's what it says. It says, if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto him, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him, and bring him out unto the elders of the city and unto the gate of the place. And they shall say unto the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. That's the law. That's what the law says. Aren't you glad that Jesus came and fulfilled the law in himself so that you and I can have the mercies of God? I don't know about you, but I tell you, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, I'd be in trouble. I'm not sure that I would even be alive. And when you understand these things that I'm talking about, then you begin to understand why the average lifespan of a young man that gets involved in a gang is less than 30 years old. Here's the demoniac, and rather than Jesus coming by and stoning him or condemning him, Jesus said, I'll call you my son. Now, I want you to think about something for just a minute. Can you imagine when this guy walked home? You imagine the knock on the door. And the door opens and maybe there's a mother standing there. Maybe there's a wife. Maybe there's some little children that's scared of daddy. But when the Lord gets a hold of you and God passes by, it changes. It even changes your countenance. It changes your disposition. It changes who you are and how you respond to things. And maybe they were afraid. They said, it's him. He's here. But there was a smile. There was a peace. And then he got to tell them what Jesus did for him. Why? Because the world said, he's done. But mercy said no. Luke chapter number 5, verse 12 to 13, there's the story of a man who is a leper. During Bible times, leprosy was a terrible, terrible disease. It's still terrible today, but it was more prevalent. And it was so much so that when people had it, when they would walk down the street, they would have to cry out to the crowd, unclean, unclean. Do you imagine walking down a crowded street and you try to take cloth bandages and you wrap them around your face or around your hands? Because what leprosy did is it destroyed the body and it destroyed the nerves, and it would eat the fingers off, it would eat the nose off, it would eat the ears off, so that you could look at a person's face and see into. And there were laws about leprosy. In Leviticus chapter number 13, verse number 45. It says, "The leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare. And he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall be his habitation." You know the problem with a lot of people and why the suffering is so bad when they get into a situation that they're involved in things they shouldn't? They are alone. They have nobody that really, really loves them. You see, when you're in the world and you're involved with drug trafficking, you don't really have any friends. You think you have friends because you can go to them and you've stole something and you can pay $100 for something that makes you feel better for a little while. They're not your friends. You're alone and you know that you're alone. The leper was always alone because he could never be touched or get near anyone. The isolation, the lack of touch, the lack of love. But Jesus came by. Now, Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He came, he took upon himself the likeness of man so that he could live among us and be able to stand before God and make intercession on our behalf so that when he talked to the Father on your behalf, God the Father would hear him and he would understand everything that he did and said. That's why the scripture says that we have not a great high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. But he, speaking of Christ, was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Then it says, "Therefore let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Now that scripture was penned down after this event. But that scripture is what this is all about. Can you imagine when Jesus passed by the leper and he walked over to him, Jesus Christ could have said, "Be clean." He could have said, "Go wash yourself in the Jordan River." That man was alone. He had not been touched by anyone in years, and Jesus walked over and he laid his hands on the place. And he touched him. And he made him whole. You see, if you look at the law, if you look at what was going on in him, he's no good anymore. There's nothing there. But mercy said no. I want to give you one more thought. Consider the fallen saint. Sometimes Christian people fall. Just because you make a mistake or you get involved in something you shouldn't, you can be saved and get in trouble. That's why we have these altars and that's why people use them. We're praying for ourselves, we're praying for others. But I'll tell you something, folks, sometimes I have to pray for me. Y'all remember the Apostle Peter? He was called by God. He loved God. And Jesus loved Peter. Remember when Jesus sat with Peter and he spent time with him and he said, "Peter, do you love me?" "Yea, Lord, I love you." He said, "Feed my sheep." He asked him again. He said, "Peter, do you love me?" He said, "Yea, Lord, you know I love you." He said, "Feed my lambs." He asked him the third time, "Peter, do you love me?" He said, "Of course. You know I love you, Lord. Feed my sheep." You see, the Lord already knew what was going to happen to Peter, and he told him some things, that there would come a time when he wouldn't be able to go where he wanted to go or do what he wanted to do. And the Lord was talking to Peter about how Peter would die and glorify God. You see, it doesn't written in the scripture, but history tells us that Peter was actually crucified upside down on an upside down cross because he didn't want to die like Jesus. said. Here's what he said: I'm not worthy to die like my Lord. Those are the words that came out of his mouth at his death. But what happened to Peter? It wasn't but a short time after this when Peter defended Jesus Christ with a sword when they came to take him. But within 24 hours or less, Peter denied the Lord. See, he had a speech that when they heard him speak, they said, "Surely you were with him." And he denied him. Denied him again. Finally denied him with a curse. Said, "I don't know him." How many times by our actions or our words have we known the Lord, walked with him, and then we, by our actions or something we've done, we've denied him? The one that spent time with Christ. But there was something that happened. After Peter denied the Lord the third time, and there was a rooster that crowed. Because Jesus already knew. He said, "Peter, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times." And Peter said, "No, I won't. I'll go with you all the way to the death." I want to tell you something, folks. Sometimes Christian people have no intention of getting themselves in the place that they're in. It could be an act of passion. It could be in the moment. It could be a bad decision. It could be taking something that somebody's offered you that you shouldn't take. It could be living in this world and falling just to sin because you're in the flesh. Here's Peter. The rooster crows. And I could just about see Jesus. After they have beat him, after they have mocked him, after they have made fun of him, and Peter's off at a distance, and Jesus just turns, and their eyes meet. You know, sometimes in our relationship with God, you know what repentance is? Repentance is not because you got caught. It's not because it cost you money. It's because you have known that you have broken the heart of God. And because of your relationship with God, you want to be in a right relationship with God. And you come and you ask God to forgive you, not because somebody found out about it, but because you want to be in the right place with God. You know, sometimes people say, and I've heard this, I heard him say this about a preacher friend that I love. They said, "Oh, he made a mistake. He's done. He's disqualified himself." Do y'all know what the Bible says about that? The Bible says the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And God knew exactly what Peter was going to do before he did it. And the Lord called him when he was a fisherman and said, "Follow me," because he knew that there was something inside of him once it was molded and shaped the right way that would be able to honor God. Peter repented. Repented is not paying penance. And here's what paying penance is. Paying penance is trying to repay for something you've done wrong. One time I had a drunk driver run a stop sign up on Nebo Road and hit me right in the driver's door, flipped my truck over, totaled my truck out. My neck hurts today. When I turn my head, it sounds like Rice Krispies. They sent me a paper to fill out, and I sent it back to him. He went to court. I didn't go. They ordered him to pay $1,200 penance. Penance. And I got a check, $100 a month for 12 months. If you combine what I got of the insurance company and his $1,200, it still wasn't enough to pay for my old Ford Ranger pickup. Here's what I want you to understand about penance. You ain't got enough money to pay the debt. You ain't got enough to give for what you need when you stand before God. What God wants is a broken heart and an humble spirit. And when you do that, he said, all debts are paid. It's paid in full, totalistai. Yeah. Yeah. Now here's what I want you to understand about Peter. Peter repented. And if you go a little farther and you look in Acts chapter 2, verse number 38 to verse number 41, you find where Peter preached again. Peter preached again. And when he preached that day, the Bible says that there were added unto the church about 3,000 souls. You know, sometimes what we ought to do is take the failures and the events of our life and use what we've learned to help somebody else. And if we're really Christians, we ought to love one another. The scripture says, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. See, when Peter could have been cast aside, the mercy of Jesus Christ said no. And here's a write it down statement. We're going to have a song in just a minute. Failure is not a person. Failure is an event. Do you get that? Don't let your name or don't let the world name you failure. It's an event. Sometimes what you've got to do, and this is a shame, but sometimes when a person falls a certain way, the only way they can ever get back to where they're restored and serving, and it shouldn't be this way, is they have to completely move away from everything and everyone who knows them so they can ever get back to the place of worship again. Do you know that God's there? God's here? You see, God's in the recycling business, and thank God. Scripture says that Daniel prayed three times a day facing towards Jerusalem. Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, he said, I die daily. That means he daily got down and gave it to God. They're getting ready with a song that I asked them to play, and we're going to ask you in just a minute to be prepared to respond. If God spoke to your heart and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, the most important thing you can realize is you think, well, I've done this, I've done that. God knows all you've done, and He loves you. You don't have to tell me. It's none of my business. But God knows, and He loves you, and He cares for you, and He went to the cross for you. Maybe you're struggling with something, and you say, I just can't seem to get victory. I've tried. Well, just keep coming. Don't stop coming. Don't stop praying. Don't stop seeking God, because one day you're going to get victory if you really want victory. Amen. You say, well, I failed. And I'm just so ashamed. I'm so guilty. God loves you. And what He tells us in His Word is when He forgives us, He puts it behind His back. He casts it into the sea of forgetfulness, and He removes it in one place as far as the east is from the west. Here's the question for you. Do you believe in the mercy and grace of God? Then you must come and receive it. I'm going to ask you to rise to your feet as I read this last verse and get ready to play a song. Psalms 51, verse 17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou will not despise. What I want you to understand this morning is God loves you so much. You've heard these examples. This wasn't just for these written in the Word. This is for you this morning. God spoke to your heart, and you'd like to pray anything at all on your heart, would you please come?